Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peaks White Mornings, Moose, Breezy, 55 for the high today. How many of you have seen True Haunting on Netflix? I started watching it the other night, had no idea that this was a local story until I saw it took place at SUNY Geneseo.
Is it a, excuse me, is it a series? Is it just like a one and done doc? What is it?
Well, the first season, it's three episodes.
Okay.
And it's about this guy.
I love a three episode season.
If you haven't checked it out, it's this new paranormal docuseries just about real hauntings told by the people who actually lived through them. And let me tell you, the first few episodes had me questioning whether I should sleep with the lights on. And I'm all about this stuff. But it's about, you know, people who survived these stories. And not to give away any spoilers, but those first three episodes puts you on the edge of your seat.
Okay.
And I'm a pretty religious guy. I believe in heaven, hell, spirits, ghosts. I believe in poltergeist, which are supernatural entities. But what's causing all of these things to take place in this dude's dorm room at Geneseo? The main guy, his name is Chris Desari. I believe that's how you say it. They pretty much just referred to him as Chris in the show, but he was a student at Geneseo back in the 80s.
Okay.
Didn't want to tell anyone about what was happening because he didn't want to be labeled, you know, crazy or laughed at, anything like that. But back then, you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren, those were the ghost hunters from like the Conjuring movies.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
The Amityville Horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was everything was based off of like this husband and wife. They came to the school to talk about their work. And Chris was going through all of these things that were taking place in his dorm room, and he introduced himself, and what happened was absolutely chilling. He said they wanted nothing to do with him, wouldn't even shake his hand. So the series is called True Hauntings on Netflix, 10 out of 10 recommend. And I want to throw this out there. Does anyone believe in this stuff when it comes to hauntings and spirits? Because I've heard so many stories of people who have encountered things within their own homes. And if you've ever experienced something that made you really question what's real or not, I would love to hear about it. And I don't know if this is weird or not, but Chris is going to be at SUNY Geneseo tonight to talk about the documentary and his experience at the college when he was there.
That's crazy.
So I registered, and you can either go to the event or the other one's over Zoom. I'm probably going to do the one over Zoom,
yeah.
But honestly, I would like to meet him. So I'm very excited
so
about
like
it.
Tell us without like spoiling it, obviously, like what even like
he was in track.
Okay.
He would go through the, you know, SUNY Geneseo being in upstate New York, there's a lot of wooded areas.
Okay.
And he was big athlete. He wanted to run in the Olympics for the US of A, and he would go on these runs, and when he ran through this wooded area, that's when things started to follow him and started to
like
happen.
Attached to him.
Attached to him, but more in a demonic way. Ugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh no, the curtains, there's no window open and the curtains are moving. I mean, there'd be claw marks on his back where he'd get attacked in the shower, but nobody was in there. And his dad wasn't.
Shut up.
It was just so creepy and so terrifying. And it was one of those things where it got to a point where his roommates started to get involved and they started to witness things. And I'm like, this is
no,
odd.
That's insane.
And it all took place in Erie Hall in SUNY Geneseo.
If you were in this position, would you like, not welcome it because you are like a pretty religious person, but like, would you be, I guess it's hard to say, but if you were in this position, would you be like kind of, your interest would be piqued because you're like, oh, I've been training for this. I've been watching this forever. Or if it's more of like a, I'm so good.
No, I'm so definitely good. You know, and he finally went to the priest at the school to talk to him. He's like, I have to turn to somebody because he's been holding it in. You know what I mean? And he's scared of how this is going to look if he starts to tell people. His buddy, who went to school with him, documented everything through his camera. And he's from Webster.
That's insane.
So he talked about it in the documentary. And I'm just sitting there, I'm watching it. I'm like, this is crazy that this all took place so close to home.
So close.
But you never, what happened to him, you would never want to happen to anybody. And that's why I'm so intrigued.
And he's still alive. Like, was there like an exorcism or are we not there
yet? He brought the priest into the dorm room. And
Can't wait for you to come back tomorrow and share the experience of what he chatted about tonight.
Well, yeah, because I think, and I won't give it away, but let's just say all of his friends at the school told him he needs to handle it and face it. And what he did to make sure it stopped once and for all is crazy.
Oh my God, I have to watch this.
Let me get to some of your texts. 585-252-9800. I don't know how many of you are totally into this type of thing, but it's October. It's that time of year. Joanne says, my grandma's house in Chila is super old. Weirdest thing happened there. Lights flicker constantly in one room. It's not the wiring. An electrician checked. One night, the old grandfather clock started ticking backwards on its own. And I swear I heard a whisper calling my name. Joanne. What's up, guys? I live alone. And one night, I saw a dark figure walk past my window at 3 a.m. Well, that could be anybody.
Yeah, that's just the key boys.
That's it.
I think
DoorDash.
She's like, there's my Cinnabon. I think it's crazy. And I think that there are so many people out there that like either do believe in this or don't believe in this. And whether you believe or not, something's going on. Something's happening. And you can either face it. I don't know what's worse. If you face it head on or if you just ignore it.
No, you can't ignore it because it will constantly be there. That's the thing. Let me go to the phones. I have Julie on hold. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So good. Have you ever experienced something like this?
Yes. I did a paranormal investigation with the paranormal couples, Cody and Satori, at Rolling Hills Asylum.
When was it?
That was a few months back.
Oh.
And that's in East Bethany.
Yes.
New York.
Yes. Okay. I'm familiar.
And we had so much equipment, and we had a lot of interaction and activity with paranormal.
You know, years back, I did a tour through there with a tour guide, and they were taking people in and out of there, and it was one of the creepiest places I have ever been. And it's like, why? You know what? Why do we choose to do this type of thing? I know we're fascinated, but it's not good.
I know.
It can't be good. Did you experience anything while there?
Yes. We had a lot of EVPs. We did recordings, and we used the flashlights, too, to interact, and we were getting answers to all of our questions.
You didn't bring a Ouija board in there, did you?
No, I would never mess with Ouija boards.
Yeah, I don't know why.
With that.
Why do people still play with Ouija boards? Because I feel like that is the worst thing you can do. You know, you don't want to open up any portals to things that you don't want touching you at 3 a.m.
Period.
No, of course not. That's great.
Wowzies.
Yeah, I highly recommend going there if you want activity. But it was so nice because we were with Cody and Satori, and Satori is Jason Hawes' daughter.
I'm not familiar with Jason.
Oh, he's from Ghost Hunters?
Oh, yes. Okay, got it.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Are they insane.
By the way, Julie, are they still doing tours there at Rolling Hills?
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
We got to go, Moose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might think
so. We got to go.
All right. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate you calling
in. You're welcome.
Jamie says, I get why people think Ouija boards are fun, but honestly, I would not mess around with them. They're unpredictable, can be really dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. And I've heard too many stories about people getting seriously hurt or having bad experiences. Samesies.
Yeah. I remember being young and doing a Ouija board down in my cousin's basement. It was really scary. I didn't know what it was at the time, right? Like, how was I to know? But
I took one to Mount Hope Cemetery by myself, put it on a grave and played with it. Because Spisano and Sandy thought it was going to be really fun for the radio.
I can't believe you're still here. Like, physically and working in this building. You know what I mean?
Lindsay says, honestly, I would die for someone to touch me at 3 a.m. All right.
All right. Quick... It's different. It's very different.
EPXY is free.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. Before we get over to our friend Sean, who's on hold, he's going to share his dilemma about the situation he's been in. But I just wanted to really quick touch on this. Let me just start off by saying money really does complicate everything in life, does it not?
It really does.
Because if you don't have it, life can be very hard. If you have too much of it, people pretend to be your friend. If you loan it to people, somehow they will just all of a sudden forget to pay you back. It's just always a headache.
And then they make you feel like they're putting them in an inconvenient spot when you ask for your money back.
How dare you? How dare you put me in this spot? Well, Sean happens to be one of those people who decided to let a friend borrow money. And now here we are. Hi, good morning, Sean.
Morning, Moose and Breezy. I love the show. Thanks for having me on. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
So give us the lowdown. What's the dilemma?
Well,
another woman trying to take you for everything you got.
He's like, which isn't much, but here we go.
Go ahead, buddy.
Well, a little bit ago, I loaned a friend like a pretty big chunk of money.
Okay. First mistake.
Yeah, it was over a couple grand, actually. So
damn.
Not.
Okay, Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, somebody's listen, well off.
Humble brag. What a flex. He's like, yeah, I just have a couple grand to just like loan.
Yeah.
I also need a couple grand. I'm getting married.
Well, she was going through a really hard time.
They always are.
Her dad had just passed away, and she was out of work. Things were just not looking great for her.
Sure.
You guys have been friends for a while?
We were really good friends, and I knew she needed the money, so I was like, going to help her out, so I did.
Sure.
Well, fast forward 4 months, and as fate would have it, that same friend wound up becoming my girlfriend.
Oh, you silver tongue devil. So
he's like, yeah.
How did that happen?
I'm not really sure. I just kind of ended up there.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. We went out one night and we were talking, hanging out, and it was a good time. And yeah, now we're dating, which I love. It's great.
Yeah.
But she is now doing a lot better financially, which is awesome.
Great.
I'm happy about that. She actually makes probably more than I do.
Wow.
That's great.
Why have I been in this situation before?
That's great. Now,
yeah,
you're probably wondering if you're going to get that money back. Am I right?
Yes, you're correct. I'm just wondering, if she's going to bring it up.
She's not going to. No, absolutely not. She's not going to bring it up whatsoever.
She's never once brought it up to you, though?
She's not. No. And I'm kind of afraid to bring it up because I don't want to seem like petty or I don't want to make things weird.
This is Johnny. Dude. Sean Paul, this is why you don't lend anyone money ever, because you always feel awkward for asking for your own money back. It's absolute bogus. No way. No, hey, thank you.
At the time, you were trying to do a good thing.
But I don't want to seem petty or make things weird. But part of me feels like, you know, that money wasn't just a gift, you know?
You mean a loan?
Yeah.
Well, she's treating it as a gift. Sean, if I may, this is my two cents, but you're never getting that money back, because once you crossed into relationship territory, it's gone.
Also, God forbid you guys break up, which I'm not hoping that on you, but that's your chances of getting that money back have gone down 75%.
Just consider it an early investment in her happiness. You know, lesson learned, time to move on. And also, if you truly want that money back, don't ask her for the cash. Just make her pay for the next 22 dinners.
That's what I'm saying. Don't ask her for the cash. Just hack into her bank account. You're close enough.
You know, I don't see you getting this money back. And you can ask.
Also, it's like hard because, like, obviously it's never a good idea to count favors in a relationship or keep score. But in this case, you might have to.
How do you think she's going to react if you bring this up, truthfully? Because you know it's going to get weird. These are uncomfortable conversations to have. And everything, especially in a relationship, is great. Everyone's happy. And still, until you start really having these uncomfortable conversations, and one of the uncomfortable conversations to have with anyone is money.
Well, that's the thing. You know, part of the reason I haven't brought it up is she really does not like talking about that period in her life when I did loan her the money. It was a really, really low period for her.
Sure.
But
it's your money.
So we don't even, yeah. So we don't even talk about that time of her life. And I feel like me bringing up the money that I gave her is going to sort of hash up some old stuff that she's not going to want to deal with. And so that's part of the reason I haven't brought it up. I just feel like she's not going to handle it well.
Well, there's a reason too where she hasn't brought it up. She doesn't want to pay you back.
No.
All right, 585-252-9800. The phone lines are open. How many of you agree that instead of Sean asking for that money back from his girlfriend, he should just come to terms with the fact that he's never getting it back?
I would honestly, I wouldn't take that line down, but I would have a conversation, more of like a subtle conversation. It's all about delivery, right? That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. So sure. If you're like, hey, where's my money, super aggressively. But if you're if it just casually comes up in conversation, she's more than likely to be receptive to it. Of just like, hey, we're having a nice dinner. Like, I didn't bring you here for this conversation. It just kind of like came up. I'm not like, it's not like I've been ruminating on it all day, even though we definitely have.
Or, babe, I really want to take you on a nice vacation. Oh, man, I'm $2,000 short.
That's a very nice roundabout way to do it. Sure.
All right. We got messages coming in. Sean, you're probably not getting that money back, but it's worth asking for. And you clearly want it back. Yes?
I would like the money back.
Got it.
He's
okay.
Like, that's why I called you guys.
All right. We'll get to some messages and calls coming in right now. Thanks for your story, man, though. And good luck to you.
Yeah. Thanks for your help today.
I, too, hope you get that money back.
Thank you.
All right. Also, good luck with the relationship. Talk soon, Sean. He's not getting it back, is he?
He's definitely not getting that money
I don't
back.
Feel like he's getting it back. Gina said, I've been in this situation. You guys loaned a guy $1,200 before we started dating. He never mentioned it again. We broke up a year later. I still think about that $1,200. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Kaylee says, good morning. Here's my rule. If you loan money and there's no written agreement, it becomes a donation. I don't think he should even bother asking for the money back at this point now that they're in a relationship. Just think of it as a donation.
I would go about it, and this is a thought that I had, was I think maybe she got into a relationship with him so she didn't have to pay him back. But I would go about
that's it. That's extreme. It's interesting.
I know, but like, you know.
It's extreme.
You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. Hustlers don't quit.
Can you imagine if that really was the case?
No, I know.
Because he seems very giddy about the relationship. I wonder how she feels.
But another thing is, like, I wouldn't feel bad about making her pay for certain things in the relationship because she literally owes you.
You know, Nate brings up a good point. He just wrote in and said, it's time to leave this girl immediately. If she really respected you, then she would have mentioned paying you back on her own. She hasn't brought it up at all. She's got a new job. She's making more money probably than, you know, our boy Sean. But nothing has said. Nothing has been said about it. That's a problem. Matt says, if she suddenly won the lottery, would you expect her to pay you back? Yeah, of course you would. So, yeah, ask for your money. What a tough conversation to have.
No, truly. Very awkward. Very uncomfy.
All right. Good luck, Sean. Thanks for calling in this morning, buddy. We appreciate it. But seriously, go get your money. What gives you PTSD? For some of you, it's your time serving our country. For me, it's bees.
For me, it's my ex.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, 55 for the high. My entire afternoon yesterday was shot, and I was so upset. I was getting ready to sit down to a hot meal, and all of that was ruined when I found a bee in my bathroom. It was the size of a cocktail wiener, and I am not exaggerating. Breezy, this was the biggest bee I've ever come across. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, is this a murder hornet? It was giant. Do we even have those in New York? I don't know.
I feel like at this point, between the mouse story and this story, you should start your own exterminator business.
I'm taking care of all of it. I'm getting rid of the mice. You know, I don't know how they get in there. It was one mouse and I handled it. I sent a message. But this thing yesterday, the hairs on my neck are standing up. And I know
Did you shut the door?
Yeah, at first.
Lock it in there.
At first. And I know I'm not alone when I say I probably would much rather get punched in the face by Mike Tyson than get stung by a bee like this.
That's very dramatic.
Do you remember
remember when you were at your parents in the pool?
Yeah, two summers ago, a wasp stung me on my ass. I went to go sit down. I was, you know, having a nice, what was it, like a Thursday afternoon.
It's a self-care day.
Sit down and it
you
felt.
You were alone.
It felt like I was sitting on a rusty nail. And my ass cheek.
It was really bad, you guys.
So swollen.
It was so bad.
And everybody started calling in the show and saying.
Yeah, you're going to go septic.
I was going to pass. I was going to pass away. But I couldn't figure out for the life of me yesterday, how am I going to get this bee out of my bathroom? Because my windows are tall. They're like 7 feet tall. I couldn't reach it. But I just didn't want to go anywhere near it. So I'm like, let's get a rubber band and see if I can shoot at it. So here I am in my bathroom.
The BB gun.
Here I am with a rubber band and I hit it once and I pissed it off. Okay. Just the sound of it is sending shivers down my spine. I'm like, why is this thing the size of a little sausage? I go, it's massive. Where did it come from? So now I'm calling my buddy. I'm like, what do I do? How do I handle it?
Right.
He goes, I'm not really sure. Let me call you back. He never does.
Never does.
So it's just me, myself, and I against this, whatever the hell you want to call it, this giant bee. So I try shooting it with the rubber band a couple times. That's not working. I finally am like, what am I doing right now? It's been 40 minutes. My food's cold. I have to leave to go head to Greece soon. I'm like, this is my entire afternoon. So I get a towel, and I have this towel, and I soak it in the sink. And I'm like, I'm going to
slap. You don't have a fly swatter?
No.
Time to get one.
But I do have a toilet cleaner.
Like, ew, you know, brush?
I use the brush.
That's disgusting.
So it gets close enough to... It gets close enough where I can reach it.
That pissed it off even more. It's like, ew, this is nasty.
I swat at it, and I hit the toilet brush up against the window, and it just splatters all over the window. The bee is fine. Didn't touch it.
There's poop everywhere.
I'm like, it's even more pissed off now.
Yeah.
So now another 30 minutes go by. It's been an hour, and I'm just watching it. I'm watching it. So I have this towel. It's soaking wet, and I'm waiting for it, and finally it gets in a distance, and I swat it. It's fine. I'm like, there's no way. Is this the Terminator? What? Finally, I'm like, I'm pissing it off. Finally, it comes down. I feel like it's going to fly at me, and I swat at it again, and then boom, it disappears. I don't hear it, nothing. I'm
oh
like,
my God, it's incognito.
I drop the towel. I'm like, I can't hear it. I can't see it. I'm like, where did it go? literally vanished. So I'm looking around. It took me about 10 to 15 minutes because I'm such a wuss.
Yeah.
It took me 10 to 15 minutes to peek to see if it was under this towel because now I feel like it's going to jump on me. So I go, I get my boots, I put my boots on, and now I'm jumping up and down on this towel to make sure if it is underneath.
The neighbors have a broom. They're like, hey, knock it off.
I need to make sure this thing is dead. Finally, I lift the towel. It's not there. I was like, is it in the laundry basket? Did it fall behind the shit? Nothing. It fell on the very, very top of the windowsill. So now I have to get a chair. I have to climb up there. It's dead, but I don't even want to touch it.
You're resuscitating it because you feel so bad.
It's massive. So I finally get a Kleenex and I pick it up. It felt like I was holding a small rock.
This rock. The rock you got from the
breezy.
Coliseum.
Yeah, it was so stiff. And it was like, I'm like, this thing is not no ordinary bee. I've never seen anything like this. I flushed it down the toilet. It was like a huge weight was off my shoulder. But I was like, the PTSD that this gave me, because the times that I have been stung by a bee, it wasn't pleasant.
Moral of the story is like, you don't have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Any other person would just be like, how would you handle so much stuff going on right now. I can't deal with this and just leave.
No, nobody was going to leave that. Because what if it all of a sudden escaped, got into my bedroom? The last thing you want to do is take your eyes off of a monster like that because you don't know where it's going to end up. What gives you PTSD aside from your ex?
Yeah, no, literally my ex. Honestly, there are so many things that are triggering to me. But one thing that gives me PTSD that like shouldn't at all is sidewalk chalk. Like when I was younger, I was like doing sidewalk chalk and I like dragged my fingernail across the asphalt and
sure.
I can't even say the word sidewalk chalk without my whole body going numb. Like I don't know what it is. It's so bad.
Okay, that's not as dangerous, but all right. Drew says,
I could lose a finger.
Moose, you think bees are bad? Try being stuck in an outhouse at a campground with a hornet nest under the seat. I haven't camped since 2017. This is why Breezy and I don't go camping.
No, absolutely not.
We've never camped in our lives. We probably won't start.
I'm not going to. I refuse. Also, PTSD, one more, was... It's kind of in the realm of this, but porta potties, because I was in a porta potty once and it flipped over on me. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah, it's the porta potties. My PTSD isn't bees, it's seagulls. Yeah, those are pretty bad too. I gotta figure out what I'm going to do in the future, because if something like this happens again, I can't depend on rubber bands or a wet towel or a toilet brush.
You definitely can't.
I got to get a gun.
Oh my god, that escalated so quickly.
Hey, it's Devins, and I've got all the strange news stories that you won't get scrolling your Instagram feed. Starting at 3 every afternoon, right here on 98PXY.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.